listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys rewatch Sex and the City with you. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
My name is John Siever, and that was snazzy, Corey.
Wow. Well,
we're trying a new little intro on for size.
With the listeners, what you can't see behind the curtain, because we're very Wizard of Oz. We're Wizard of Oz pre the ending when you hear this podcast. Not always. There is an episode of ours out there right now where we have a full 3.5 minutes up where Kevin and I talk about his headphones and whether he can hear me or not. Apparently that's out there and we didn't edit that out.
That's a little peek behind the curtain.
That's a little peek behind the curtain. But the other peek you're not going to get behind the curtain is that for 25 minutes before this, we tried to figure out whatever the new intro would be. And I think that it was a testament.
It has to say in just like that.
That I actually did use that tone jokingly a few times about keeping another thing in straight to you, Kevin. And I feel like a jerk for the way that I did it because the joke was clearly not translating. I'm going to do that one day as like a father
sometimes
or a husband and ruin my family.
Well, it's hard to have like sarcastic, venomous, humor when there's internet lag is like really hard. like when that happens and then something freezes when you're like, I'm just playing. And then the person, which I know, but this is a very fraught moment. We are creating the largest Sex in the City rewatch community
right.
in the world. We need to make sure that our vision is clear.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I think it's important because we probably have two different, listeners joining us right now. We have the original Bradshaw Boys listeners, which know us for what we truly are, as the three idiots who are watching a TV show giving really poor opinions on it. And we have potentially new listeners. And for you new listener out there, what we are doing is we are going to commit to rewatching every single episode and movie of Sex and the City before the launch of HBO's new show and Just Like That. And we're trying to build a movement here. This is not just three guys and a couple of friends.
This is not a moment, it's a movement.
That's right, Hamilton. Is that from Hamilton?
Is that
or
from
is it
Les
Mis? Something like
it
that.
Is, yeah. Same thing.
But we are trying to create a community of people who are committed to rewatching, consuming all Sex and the City in anticipation of the new show, and I am very, very excited about it.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah, it feels like they talk about what is it when preparation and hard work meets luck. What is that thing when hard work meets preparation meets opportunity or something like that? Like what is it? It's like a Malcolm Gladwell thing or something.
When preparation H meets your behind equals relief.
That's right.
What it is. That's what it is. But I think
no.
The
it's
only one of those I know is proper preparation prevents piss poor performance, and that was like my football coach screaming at me like while we're doing line drills, and I was like, we practice all the time, and we still suck. Like I think we're just bad at football.
I think it's luck is preparation meets hard work.
Okay.
And well, you know what? Here's our preparation. Our hard work was putting out 100, watching the entire Sex and the City for the first time ever for the past 3 years. And then that was our preparation and it took hard work. And then we met this moment. And now what's crazy is people are like, what show are you going to do next? And it's like the fact that we're going to go back and watch the pilot today. I'm like, we watched that for the first time and we didn't even know if we'd like the show.
Yeah.
You know, like and people are like, wait till you get to Burger or wait till this happens. Now we get to go back and watch the pilot and be like, oh my gosh, we're totally different. We started this when we were in November 2017.
Yeah, that's when we first recorded the first episode. Yeah, November 2, 2017.
Jeez, that's so long ago.
So much has changed. It's crazy to think about.
It's crazy. I re-listened to part of the first episode today, and we're talking about the climate in 2017, not the actual climate, like the political climate and the social climate. All those things have changed.
I think we recorded it like a week before Harvey Weinstein got busted. For real.
Yeah.
No joke.
He was supposed to be our first guest, and then we had to really shift up our model after that. It really screwed up the podcast.
We were gonna talk about Goodwill Hunting and the movies he produced, and he just, unfortunately, he had to bail. It was heartbreaking at the time, but good thing now that we're looking back at it.
I had a whole long question about horticulture and house plants, and then I was like, he did what to a house plant? Oh man, never mind. Yeah. Can't talk about that.
Oh yeah, man.
But at the end of our first episode that I listened to today, there's a line that Kevin is like, you were like, I didn't expect to like this show that much. And like, that's true. We didn't really know what we were going to think of it. Now for like 3.5 years, it's become such a weird part of our lives. So now we are excited to go back and fully catch up on it. So that by the time we're done with all this, we can all watch And Just Like That, the new HBO reboot of Sex and the City, and be fully informed together. I think the other thing we didn't say is that, like, we're doing this all the way through, and it's going to be every episode, like the episodes will be on this feed. The other episodes will be on our Patreon. It's going to be like one and one. So we'll have one here, one on our Patreon, and we're going to do some fun interviews along the way with some great people too.
Yeah, and I think what's particularly exciting about this show is, I think, and I have no scientific facts to back this up, but I imagine that this is like one of the rewatched shows of all time. Like, so many people that we talk to, so many fans of Sex and the City consume it like comfort food. They if they're lonely, they'll watch it. If they feel like they need something to watch because they're in it, wherever they are. Like, so many of our listeners, our fans, my wife, like, consume this show over and over and over again. And that's like what we want to do, is rewatch it with all of you guys, talk about it and look at it through a different lens. The first time we watched it, you know, admittedly, we got stuck a couple times on some of the side characters or the plot or our feelings towards Carrie. This time we really want to rewatch it. And focus a lot on the fashion, the things that are happening in New York City, the locations that they are in, and try at least to not get super caught up in some of the side characters. I can't make any promises, but I think that's a charge that we should carry with us as we're rewatching this.
We're gonna make a commitment now that, you know, Bernie Turtletob. He's going to get his 4 minutes rather than his 26 minutes out of a 50-minute episode. Okay.
That's true.
We have to cover Bernie. We have to cover Shmuel and Capote Duncan, but they will receive significantly less airtime than they did on our first watch. And I think that is growth.
That's the definition of growth right there.
You can get on our... So right now, this is the pilot episode, and Sex and the City... Season 1, Episode 2, Models and Mortals is on our Patreon right now. So go get on the Patreon. And that feed has 25 other episodes. And you're going to be getting one episode a week on our Patreon, one on the main feed. So go subscribe. It's $5 a month. Or if you want to be our Mr. Big, you can throw in the big bucks. And we're doing more podcasts. And to do that, if you can support us.
Do we have a Raul tier?
Raul tier? Yeah.
We need a Raul tier. Yeah.
I think the Raul tier would be that we have to pay them because they would be driving us around.
Dude, if someone...
If we have enough people on our Patreon,
have I ever talked about my cousin?
Wait, what?
Have I talked about my cousin's stretch limo on this before? It's actually a really funny idea.
No.
He bought a stretch limo, and the idea was you buy it with like 10 friends. Everyone puts in like $1,000. You can buy like a 1970s stretch limo. And then every 10 weeks, you're the driver and you just drive around the other 9 people. And so weeks, you get to just party in the back of a 1970 stretch limo. And then 1 week, you have to wear the outfit You have to open the doors for people, and then you are just the chauffeur. So it's like once every every 3 months you chauffeur, but then the rest of the time you party in the back of a limo. It's a great idea.
But your cousin does have a stretch limo, so we should pod from the limo.
Dude, he would definitely drive us around.
I think he said it needs some work, but we could definitely pod from the limo.
Even if it's parked under the BQE and we're not moving anywhere, we could still be in the back of a limo.
Okay, yeah, once we're all vaxxed, we're doing pods from the limo.
I love that. I 100% love that.
Hey, one thing that we put out before we go watch this, we put out a call to all of our social media people, our followers on Instagram and Twitter. If you don't follow us there, follow us because Kevin does a great job with the Instagram. We have some great memes and good SATC content. But we asked you to send us voicemails with questions about like what this rewatch is going to be like. We got a couple and we can listen to all of them, but I feel like we should just listen to one real quick to start with. Do you guys want to hear it?
All right.
Yeah, it's here.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm Amy, aka Wendy. I'm home from Instagram. Longtime listener, and I'm so happy you're going to rewatch this series again. In my opinion, the show gets even better once you know the storylines and you can pay attention to other stuff. Anyway, I don't really have much to say about the first two episodes, except I like Carrie's big dissertation. But my question is, what's going to happen with the grading scale? Are you going to stick with Cosmos or maybe change it? One out of five rabbits? Something like that? Anyway, good luck with the new series, and take care.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you, Amy. AKA Wendy at home. Wendy, I'm home. Yeah, she was saying new grading scale. We're gonna do the Cosmos scale.
Ooh.
We're gonna do a rabbit scale.
Whoa! Wait. This is great.
What?
We could each have first of all, if we didn't give it a Cosmo, we can all give it a Cosmo, but we can all be in charge of a different thing.
Oh,
a Manolo scale, a rabbit scale.
We need to talk about that. Where someone has like this. How is the style? Is the Manolo scale?
Yeah,
the Cosmo scale was the social element, like the amount of screen time for the ladies, and then we can
the Lady Justice scales is just how much Miranda did lawyer work within the episode. The scales of justice.
Take a Napa, which is like how much did they take a nap? How much were they outside of New York?
Right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we're going scale crazy.
Basically, the entire podcast, the entire second part after we watch it, is us going to be rating it on different scales.
Yeah, totally.
45 minutes of us rating it.
Let's come up with some scales when we go to watch this.
Yeah.
And I mean, what's interesting is if you go back and listen to our first episode, we didn't come up with the Cosmo rating till a few eps in. So we never even really rated this one. So this will be so maybe we should Cosmo rate this one afterward, but then also other scale rate it too.
I must say something a little bit, maybe divisive. I'm not sure if we should rate the series the second time around. I mean, this is like, in my mind, this is all just candy canes. Like we watched a show, we critiqued it, we rated it on a scale, we judged it. And now like we're just rewatching it for fun, getting ready for the new content coming out. That's kind of my thought right now. I think we should definitely rate something, but like,
it's like when you get a new, like,
I'm not sure.
It's like when if your parents are divorced and then your mom has a new boyfriend, it's like, what do you think of the new boyfriend? Well, once you like him and once he's your stepdad, there's no going back. You know, like,
true.
We rated our girlfriend all the way through, and now it's our life partner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're stuck in this relationship. Whether we're watching the worst episode, the best episode, this is just something we're riding out until we get to be reunited with our television life partner, which is not the show, which is Michael Patrick King, who we haven't met in person yet, but
yeah, exactly. I like that. Okay.
Should we watch the pilot? Should we check out the pilot?
Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, It's going to be kind of wild. I'm excited to see Carrie's hair.
I know. Yeah. I'm excited to talk about so much of it. Let's check out this pilot, and everyone who's listening, go ahead, turn on the pilot episode, Sex and the City, give it a watch, and we'll be back to talk about it.
All right.
And listen, before we go, if you want to ever leave us a voicemail, go ahead and get on the Instagram or Twitter. Our number is up there. You can call at any time, leave a voicemail, and we'll play it on the pod. All right.
That's right.
All right. We'll yeah.
We'll give you the number later.
Bye. Later.
Episode 1, Sex and the City. At a birthday party for 30-something Miranda, Carrie and her friends vow to stop worrying about finding the perfect male and start having sex like men. Carrie has several encounters with tycoon heartthrob Mr. Big, while Miranda starts dating nice guy Skipper Johnston. Charlotte goes on a date with Capote Duncan, but when she tells him she won't have sex with him, he goes to a club and winds up going home with Samantha. Now, back to the boys.
Wow.
And we're back.
Kevin said this right before we started recording, but that is a pilot. That is such a great pilot. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, it definitely sets up a show. It's crazy to think of what it sets up now that we've seen the whole thing. But like, you don't really have any other choice when you set up a thing with a pilot like that. Like, you know, you've at least gotten people to sign up to come back next week come into this world, whatever it's going to be. And then you allow it to just like grow into something else.
Yeah.
Well, also, I remember like, it's like anything that you, once you get used to the world that it's in, like, it's not as like, you know, like you, I remember the first time watching it, I was like, I'm watching a show from 1999 that I've heard of. It's called Sex and the City.
Right.
And it was even less like, we like made such a big deal about like the guys, which are funny.
Yeah.
But I remember at the time I was thinking of it more like, this is funny, but also ironically funny. And I'm like, oh no, that was just really funny. The way they shot it, and the guys just being like, this is what it's like being a guy. Yeah, and totally. And it's like, it was just really funny. And less, I think once the show gained my trust that like, this is a really great show that I really enjoy, I feel like over the course of the first season, I like exercised all of my like, okay, like, is this show really good? And I just was able to enjoy the pilot in a way that I'm like, man, I hope to write a script that good one day. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It was so, it actually got me hyped that we're doing this, because
I know
it was, I was like, what are we going to do? To just talk about the same stuff. And I was like, this is so fun to watch. Yeah. I don't know. I loved it.
I also thought about this, that it's interesting, like, how much has changed probably from our perspectives from watching the entire series once until and going back and watching it now, just in the themes of the show.
Oh yeah.
How much we know the characters, and also just personally in our own lives. Like, I thought about it and I was like, oh, I'm glad that we're coming at this from a actual different perspective. Not saying that like we're like the most super enlightened people about it or whatever, but like, I think that it's like, oh, we are really seeing this through new eyes and seeing the show through new eyes and with such an appreciation of this show.
Yeah. That's something, that I was thinking about when I was watching it too. And I'd like to make a public declaration, for the world to hear.
Mm.
In this rewatch of Sex and the City, I am going to try my absolute hardest to understand / relate / love Carrie Bradshaw. I'm going to be so team Carrie Bradshaw. My lens is going to be just all Carrie all the time. I am team Carrie the second time watching this way through. I can just tell you that right now. Yeah.
And I, you know what? I'm going to make one too. I'm going to do my best to hate Charlotte. I'm going to hate her. I hate her.
I love that.
As much as
go ahead, try and get pregnant.
Yeah.
It's like, that is just cruel, Corey. No, seriously.
No. She's up against a lot of factors. And you know what? I'll be honest. Some of them are her fault. Okay. You know what?
I mean, did you guys, so I think I also know how the beginning of, and I couldn't help but wonder, is going to start.
Really?
I know. After watching it, I saw how it's going to start.
What? How?
Sex and City, the second movie ends, right?
Yeah.
First scene, and I couldn't help but wonder, is Carrie Bradshaw wakes up from a daydream. She is in Club Chaos, surrounded by Miranda Hobbs and Skipper, and she is watching Samantha walk over to Mr. Big, and then Samantha and Mr. Big go to the private room, and wow, everything else, all of the first part of Sex and the City was just a dream. It was all made up. And that's Dallas, where it starts. I couldn't help but wonder.
Dallas,
I couldn't help but wonder.
Roseanne.
Yeah. What was real? Like, what is her life when Samantha smokes her Cohiba with Mr. Big,
yep,
and they just go fuck in the private room downstairs, which is what really happened.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think would be, I mean, it was interesting to go back and then watch that, just like the montage of, like, I mean, they bring in you all the personal characters, but then they show just the girl from London who in a few lines does an Australian accent.
That actress is actually from Australia. Is she American doing a bad London accent? She's Australian.
But it kind of set up like this question that I feel like it, just since we've started doing this, like I've lived through with different people, that it's like, you know, like you're, when you get expectations for someone, or like what people are looking for in a relationship and how you, but it was just funny that it's like, that was just one of her columns, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's crazy they started the whole series with that. Because I remember them starting the series with like Miranda and Skipper looking directly to camera, but they almost have like an introduction and then they do chapter one. Yeah. You know?
Well, they do a lot with Carrie in this pilot. And I think it's interesting that like the whole first part of the pilot is talking about Elizabeth and hope and these dreams that she had and how New York is love and roses. And then the very first shot you see of Carrie Bradshaw is her holding a cigarette from behind, like being the harsh reality to this girl's dream. And it's like, that was definitely intentional, but like Carrie refers to herself as a sexual anthropologist when she's talking to Big. And like, I'd be curious, is like, what are the tones that they're setting for as to who Carrie Bradshaw is in this first episode? Is she someone who believes in love? Is she someone who doesn't believe in love? Because when Big asks her or tells her that she's never been in love, she feels like she's physically ill and gets the wind knocked out of her. So what are they saying about Carrie in this initial episode? I'd love to hear what you guys think.
Well, one thing that is just, this is just a piece of trivia, but I saw this on IMDb, but originally Indiana Jones was supposed to be a sexual anthropologist, and then they wanted it to appeal to families and they got rid of that. And they were like, just be a regular one. They dusted off the script.
That boulder scene was way different in the first cut. That boulder just had dildos all over it and it was rolling down. And instead of running from it, he was getting pleasure.
Yeah, he was going around the world just like dusting off dinosaur bones and like old sex toys from like 2000 BC. And then
he already has the whip.
Yeah.
It all makes sense, yes, dude.
That whole throw me the idol, I'll hand you the whip scene. Uh-huh. That was the same.
Dude, yeah. Do you think it didn't start as the Temple of Doom? Started as the Temple of Pleather.
Yeah.
Pleather.
Pleather. Yeah, so Carrie Bradshaw and the Cruise and the, that's what this is. It's basically she's a sexual anthropologist and it's called Carrie Bradshaw and the search for the sex like a man crystal.
Yeah, exactly.
The special power that will give her the ability to kick a guy out of her apartment after he eats her out.
It's just like this. I feel like this terrible joke is waiting to be made, but it's Indiana Bones. I mean, it's what it is. You gotta call it.
All right, so. Dude. Okay, sorry, I derailed your perfectly thoughtful question.
No, I can't help. I can't get out of my head like Carrie Bradshaw walking around with a cowboy hat and a whip to that. Din, 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 din.
Mash up.
We need to make it work.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, we've got we have to cut that together of just like her saying she's a sexual anthropologist and then just cut scenes of her into just that first, the first Temple of Doom one, or not Temple of Doom, the first movie.
Yeah, we need to put Big's face on Short Round, who is the little Asian kid from Temple of Doom.
Yes.
Who just says Dr. Jones.
Dude, what if there's some guy that comes so hard his entire face melts?
Oh my god. Oh jeez. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god. Oh. Oh my gosh, we have to put together a scene with
that. Imagine her explaining that to the girls at brunch the next day.
At the Chat and Chew.
And then
Al Blimpton was an investment banker in the Upper East Side. When he jizzed so hard, his face melted.
Oh. Oh my gosh. I would have to tell all my friends to close their eyes and not look at it so their faces wouldn't melt.
I thought I had found myself with true love. Instead, I found myself with a dead, melted man in his skull. Tell after me about we it, fucked, honey.
After we fucked, he turned into dust, and I looked at him and said, "You have chosen poorly."
And that's if everyone how we thinks found this is unrealistic, Carrie flies away in one of the episodes. There's no reason why this could not be in an episode. This is magical
that episode
realism.
Is just called, that's just called the Ark of the Covenant. That's the name of the episode. Also, okay. If you thought you were going to get something different out of this rewatch series, No, it's classic Bradshaw.
No,
Boys.
We're going to get,
that's
yeah.
What you get.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Okay, right,
so what do we think of her being a sexual anthropologist?
No, well, I would just be curious. Like, what does that mean? And like, I want to know why. Like, why did Big's comment wound her so much? So
I think that there's a few things at play in the pilot structure that's not just what's going on with her character. And part of it is that a lot of this is based off of the book Sex and the City and Candace Bushnell. Like the story about the British woman comes directly from Candace Bushnell's first book. That's directly out of that. And then what else? Also, that Candace Bushnell talks about in her book that she would do that. She would go out around town and like talk to people and sit at clubs. So I think that like they're basing Carrie Bradshaw very much off of Candace Bushnell to be like, this is like, I think as we get further on in the series, it's like, oh, Carrie writes a column. She's a woman about town and she is in, she's like in, what's the word? Not incisive, but like she's just like, she pays attention to what's going mm-hmm. on, but they're setting mm-hmm. this more up like, hey, I'm going to work tonight. And yes, work is exactly. club so, chaos. And so, and I think because of that, oh, sorry. And the other thing is like, and she says this in her book, Candace Bushnell, like it's at the beginning, it's very cynical about what love is and that mm-hmm. love is dead. And so I think that they're setting it up where she's like, there is no love. And the whole first part of this is like, men have the power flip now, but then it's like women don't want to settle. Like everyone is just jockeying for position. And then at the end, this one guy that she thinks is this like Mr. Big, you know, I don't think we get his name yet, but like this one guy.
She says Mr. Big to Samantha.
That's right. Okay. But he ends up talking about love, which is like, you would think he'd be the last one to talk about mm-hmm. love. He's this like new Donald Trump real estate tycoon, which we should talk about that line. And I think that she, it basically like House of Cards style just knocks down her entire premise.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. my question for you is, do you think pilot episode Carrie Bradshaw has ever been in love?
How could you not love Kurt Harrington? You know?
I don't, after watching, I don't think she has. I don't think she has ever been in love. I think she's made mistakes. She's moved to the city. I don't think she's, I think she has like had flings, but I don't think she ever has been in love. And I think like she maybe thought she was a sexual anthropologist because she understood love, but I think she is a sexual, but I think, like, because she was never in love is what made her a sexual anthropologist. And that is why Big's comment really rang her bell so hard. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. she kind of had this perception of herself that she was doing this because she understood the nuance of love and relationships so much. But he's just like, oh, you've never been in love. Like, that is why you are doing this, because you're still searching for this thing that you think you found all along. And she's like, holy shit, that's deep. So well, I don't know. That's interesting to me.
I think that it's interesting because there is like, I don't know, there's an air about the entire show Sex in the City or anything that like deals with sex. And you have to think about the fact that it's like, this is a new HBO show that is in contrast to a show like, you know, Friends or like Will and Grace or other shows that maybe were on at the time, but like they're not having quite as frank a discussion. It might be like, I remember I wasn't allowed to watch Friends growing up because they just like talked about like casually having sex or whatever. We watched Full House, you know, as a family, not Friends. But with that, they would just like mention it. But I don't know if you would sit down and then on television, on ABC or NBC or whatever, then go in to have a long 5-minute conversation about like, about the ins and outs of that, of the implications of relational implications, besides like, what are you together or not together? Like that's the extent. And it's interesting that Carrie Bradshaw basically goes in and does the whole like sex like a man thing. And disconnects it completely from emotion and has an orgasm. Is like, that's awesome. And then sees him later and isn't just like, oh, I want to have another orgasm. She's like, goes home that night and wants more. And I think with most people that have casual sex for long enough, at a certain point, you're like, you know what? Like Capote Duncan, I was like, dude, why don't you just, that's funny to do that. I bet a lot of people would just masturbate and go to bed, not get in a cab. Go do that, find a partner, see if you like are lucky that night. And so I do think it's interesting that from the beginning, a show that is so sexually liberated in whatever ways is still like has a theme of kind of like, okay, and at the end of the day, like go have sex, but you probably are going to want a connection at some point. Yeah. That was basically her, maybe not the overt message, but it was like, it was the underlying message that it was like, oh yeah, like there's lots of people having sex everywhere, but it'd be great if it meant more. That's what ultimately what I'm looking for, you know?
Yeah.
And usually you only get that message explicitly in a way that is like aggressive, that it's like people can have sex because some people are like mega concerned and conservative, mm-hmm. or just like over the top. That's like, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want and nothing matters. And this is like a cool, interesting balance,
yeah.
I think, between the two that is very realistic.
Totally. Yeah.
True.
Corey, you mentioned that you were going to try to keep your eye out on some of like the fashion things. Like, did you notice anything?
Yeah, I mean,
specifically in the fashion, was Patty Field, styling this show right from the beginning? I probably should know that.
I think she was. We will fact check that.
Fact check me.
It should be said too that like we've said this before, but like. We have no business at all commenting on fashion, but like we're trying to do a better job of it as we do this rewatch.
Yeah. I mean,
so it's like we're trying to pay more attention to it because I think the first time it was like we had no idea, you know, like we just didn't even think about it. And so I'm trying to think about it. Also, I don't think Patricia Field was in the pilot. It says costume designed by Ellen Lutter, and then so yeah, I don't think she was involved. I mean, I will say,
called her Patty Field as if we were like old friends. I'm sorry about that. I just realized the errors of my way.
Hey, you should 100% call her Pat. I mean, people call her Pat Field all the time. I think that's we should call her Patty Field.
It says Patricia Field. Oh, this is her awards. Never mind.
Yeah, maybe she was, but it doesn't look like from the good folks at IMDb she was. I think that like one thing I did try to look at, it was interesting because. It's clearly, I mean, it's also a pilot, so they have less money, but clearly not super flashy fashion in the pilot. Although, Kurt Harrington was wearing a thumb ring, which I thought was weird.
He was?
Notice. He was wearing a silver thumb ring.
Yeah, he was.
But also, Skipper had on a jean jacket that was like very 90s and like of the time, which mm-hmm. you feel like was like kind of a choice for that character. And then also, like, a couple things that were cool were like, this isn't like a high fashion thing, but did you notice at Club Chaos that all the cigarette girls had these like lampshade hats? They were
no, I missed that.
So freaking cool. And then also like Carrie's got that like amazing looking like leopard top that kind of looks like a bra leopard top thing going on, which like we learned from our guest, Joe Weldon, the head of the burlesque school. She's like leopard.
Oh,
print.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huge throughout Sex and the City and just like a huge thing in general. Mm. And like Samantha's got like a really like backless dress when she's going to talk to Big. Charlotte's got that shiny gown on with like the dangly earrings. So mm-hmm. like, and Miranda is like in a blazer the whole time. So they were like really like setting up this like Miranda thing, but also like they do a good job to like, at least, I don't know. Like, and Carrie's got this like, tight black dress on the first time she sees Big. So like I say all that to say, I don't know, like in terms of where it is couture wise of like what you can see and how iconic it is, but like they tried to make them look glamorous. And I think that's something that is different now. If you go out in New York City, when we can go out again, like I don't think any of us are like putting on a suit and the women we hang out with are not putting on these like,
but we also
sheer,
don't hang out
gowns.
We don't hang out in the same places chaos. That like investment bankers hang out in.
That's true.
But when the city opens
we
hang
back
out in
up,
dingy bars in Red Hook.
I mean, that is 1,000% true.
But that was interesting to me to just
do
see,
you guys
like,
have
your
a favorite?
Nightlife. This is because I threw up a little Instagram. Follow us on Instagram at the Bradshaw Boys. And
yep.
But Dracolacus said, Dracolacus. What's your favorite outfit from season 1, episode 1? And I have mine.
I'm so bad.
It's kind of a cheat. Mine's a cheat, though. I will say it's a cheat.
I think mine is going to be... Mine's probably going to be that Carrie, the leopard top thing. Although I do like Charlotte's shiny ball gown that she wears to the art opening.
Oh, yeah.
See, I like Charlotte when you first meet her, and she's like got that librarian look.
Yeah, with
her like
glasses.
Buttoned up. Yeah. It's just like they do such a good job setting up those characters. I also don't think that like... fashion was as center of a theme in the pilot as it becomes. I mean, I know when Carrie is doing the voiceover about Elizabeth and she's talking about women in the city, she does mention Manolo Blahnik's shoes as like part of like what an ensemble that makes up a powerful woman. But like, I feel like later in the series, like fashion is, it's like one of the main things that it like centers around, even like not only you as the viewer looking at it, but Carrie talking about it and discussing it and all of that. So I think that's definitely something that we'll watch mature as the series goes on.
Yeah. I thought looking at the, because there's some shows that I watch that like the intros change. And I think that's because intros became very iconic. So they started like being like, how do we get people to tune in to season two to see, but even on The Wire, they chose a different song for, it's the same song. It's mm-hmm. this Tom Waits song and they did different versions each time.
If you walk through the garden, he's going to watch over.
But then watching the original and being like, that's crazy. You're watching Carrie from season one get like splashed with water and mm-hmm. that the little ballerina, is it ballerina? Mm-hmm. Tutu?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think like from season one, watching her do all that and then go right into like the first introduction of Carrie Bradshaw, I was like,
yeah,
that's funny. Even when she trips, when she walks away from Big, I mean, this is just good writing and knowing what you're going for, but it's like, oh yeah, there's this beautiful, funny, like clumsy, like, oops, look at me. Like, I'm just like you. She gets splashed mm-hmm. with water in the intro and it sets up like who Carrie Bradshaw is.
Totally.
So quickly. And I understand kind of why the tutu is like pretty iconic. It also just like looks great. It's good for your like upper body, which she has a great, like she has kind of like a perfect, like she has the dancer body.
She does. Yeah.
And then she still has like a pretty large bosom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm trying not to objectify her and also
well, but there is
body.
A thing like when she
but it's
trips,
very flattering for that type of body that is. Just happens totally. To be the perfect body you could have, I guess.
I like how you turned into like a 18th century poet. She had a very large bosom.
Her ample bosom on her perfect dancer's body.
Look at the tutu and how it accentuates. All right.
Oh, man.
Wait.
I think something else that's really cool about the pilot that comes along with the talking headshots is the ability to show different parts of New York in like mm-hmm. a really quick way. Like just from those talking headshots, we see like Skipper behind his desk working on his computer. We see mm-hmm. the guys in the weight room. We see the guys at like a climbing gym. We see Miranda like standing in line at a buffet. We see her like sitting out eating her lunch at the park.
I love that.
And then like it was also cool, like just the amount of diverse locations we saw. We saw them at playing golf, which is at Chelsea Piers, mm-hmm. and just it did a really good job making you feel right out of the gates that you were participating in this like frantic city life,
yeah,
you know,
that stuff happens in, yeah.
And I could see that
hopping
as
in
like,
cabs, going downtown.
As someone who lives in New York, but I haven't spent like meaningful time in Manhattan in over a year, I was like, oh, this like feels normal and good and awesome. Yeah. So,
this goes along with that, John. What do you feel like would be the reason to move her apartment to a brownstone? Because living that shot of just like going above the coffee shop and then into her, like that goes along with what you're saying, that it's like I just live above a coffee shop. I have trash all over my bed. I'm smoking a cigarette, mm-hmm. all of the excitement and elegance of the city and the energy in this. And then you're just in a little box smoking in a tiny room. Like that almost made more sense than them moving it to a brownstone.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder why. Like that
I
seems
agree.
Like
I think,
kind of the perfect Carrie Bradshaw New York apartment.
Yeah, I think Carrie and like part of my pledge to like understand Carrie is to pinpoint when, because I think she is a very different person now than when the series ends. And I want to like be very tuned in to who she is in this journey. Cause like right now, you're right. She is like representing something very different than the person who would follow Petrovsky to France and like fawn at his side. Like she is a like a badass Indiana Jones sexual anthropologist. And I don't think she loses that, but like they have her represent something very different. At least I think so. I'm most likely very wrong about all of this. Just want to put that out there.
No, I think you're right. I think it's a different Carrie. I think the thing about the apartment is very spot on. Like we're in a totally different world now. And like, I think the only character that seems Charlotte seems about, well, different, but she kind of holds up to what we expect her to be. And I think Miranda does too. I even feel like Samantha's a little bit different at the beginning of this. Like she's got the sexual thing, but like she gets dunked on pretty hard by Big, which is interesting to have like the first thing that we see about her is her kind of get like, you know, dunked on by some dude. Mm-hmm. Even though that, you know, she makes up for it by being sexual Samantha. But I think that we're living in a totally different world than where we get to.
Well, also it's like, it is the difference between like your early 30s and late 30s or your 30s and your 40s or whatever, that it's like, I mean, when we all first met, I remember like, John, before you got married, we all went to Whiskey Town in East Village. And it was one of those nights where you're like, I'm getting drunk. And we were all standing outside after doing like shots, all smoking cigarettes. And you were just like engaged to Katie, but you're just like, man, I don't know. I'm scared to get married, man. This is is crazy. And then we all talked about it. And then it was also like, no, I want to, but it's like scary because it's this next step. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we have gone out and we haven't had, Corey and I have had way more times where we're out till 3 a.m. hammered than I have with you.
Just talking about how scared we are about marriage.
But I was like, that was like a transitional moment that it's like, that it was like, that's not, that was like, I don't know, that's like a rite of passage, that it's like you talk with your friends about like growing up and then life is different, but it's better now. You're like, and that is, so it's kind of fun to go back and see all these characters be like, we're going down to Club Chaos, because it's like there's more energy in that, but also you can't sustain that for 90 episodes, because if you keep on doing that, then it's like, what are you doing? So, exactly. But it is fun to go back to, because that are the parts of life that you're like, oh man, when I was 25, you got to go do this. You don't want people to miss out on that chapter of life.
That's
and
so
I'm just
true.
Really excited to like to examine Carrie throughout this journey and just be like, oh, like of course, like a lot of her makes sense. Of course, she has like maybe trust issues in relationships, because this like guy, this Kit Harington or Knox Harrington, whatever his name is. I named the guy from Game of Thrones, and then I named the fictional character from Big Lebowski. Not sure what his real name is.
His name is what it was. Wait,
Max Harrington, the recording artist. That's the guy from Lebowski. But like, she has a past, and she has been damaged, and she has made mistakes, and it's like, of course, like that's going to set the stage for how she treats Aiden, or why she's scared, or why she may treat her friends a certain way, and. I'm just excited to be Team Carrie this year. Team Carrie all the way.
I love that.
Getting a t-shirt.
That, John. It's Kurt Harrington, by the way. I couldn't remember what it was, but
Kurt and Knox, all the various Harringtons. We need to make a poster of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think Kit Harrington got named after Kurt Harrington?
100%.
His parents 100%. Were big Sex and City fans, and they're like, we want to name you after this character who has constant blue balls. And then you're going to have blue balls for the Targaryens. I forget what happens. Okay. Wait, can we have a discussion that I feel like this brings up?
Yeah.
That
I would love to.
That I think one of the main things that it talks about is like good guys Skipper, even though she makes out with them, she sort of makes out with them, feels bad after he like kind of pulls her back. But then the voiceover is like, she like gave him a pass. Okay. Yep. And then there's the bad guy, Capote, who is, he's a nice guy, but he's doing like, I would say kind of a bad guy thing. That's just like, sorry, babe, I'll get you for dinner. I need to have sex.
And then he tells Samantha she can't stay over after he like kind of flips that. So like, yeah, he's kind of doing some like selfish bad guy thing.
And then it's funny.
I'm actually
like,
kind of curious as to like looking at Capote. What was he like? Was what he did a bad guy thing?
This is an interesting thing that I'll say, like, we don't, we got a voicemail about this. We got a voicemail of Anna, and she was just saying, have your thoughts on Capote Duncan changed and evolved at all in the new viewing of this episode?
So because Anna he went out with her. He showed her a good time. He wanted to have sex, and she was like, I don't want this. And he's like, he even got in the car and he's like, I totally respect that, but this is what I want. I want to have sex tonight. I mean, now he said it like super bro style. Like I need to fuck tonight. Like, but like, I don't know. He was pretty clear with her. He didn't lead her along. He didn't lie to her. He was just like, this is what I want. And yeah, like, I respect you.
I mean,
for
that's
not
putting
wanting
a, that's putting a, that's putting a high value on honesty and not on like values. Cause it's like, that, yeah, like that's their first date. Like he's not entitled to that, but to have the audacity to do that can A, maybe get you laid, but B, also be a person that's like, oh, just so you know, you're probably not going to want to date our friend Capote because he's going to take you out to dinner, but he's fucking 12 other people. You know that, right?
Right.
So it's like, it's so honest that it's like, okay, there's enough red flags that like, And this is for Charlotte, who is looking for a real connection, not just looking for to get screwed. So I do think it was disrespectful to their date because he could have got his own cab and he could have
not been an asshole.
I mean, think about how it makes her feel as someone that it's like, you know. So I think like there's an argument for it's like being honest, but I think it's still a not good guy thing to do.
Yeah, I think he's being upfront and honest about like he is setting the expectation to be like, hey, here's the deal. And like that is important in a relationship. He's not really being chivalrous at all, you know, and just he's like he's not being creepy, but he's not being a gentleman. And also, you know, that he would turn to Charlotte and be like, we still on for next Saturday night because they like made dinner plans.
Yeah.
And, yeah. She's going to cancel those.
He's just kind of, scumbaggy. He's what?
Yeah. You could be really honest at the beginning of a first date and you could be like, hey, I want to be honest. Like if I'm paying for this date, I'd really love it if we at least like had sex tonight. And then the girl
would be
like,
that would be appropriate.
I don't think that's appropriate.
Well, that's why I'm saying that I don't think that what he did was appropriate.
Right. Right.
But you can be honest in a lot of situations and it not be appropriate or respectful.
I just like, you know what, like I just don't like using the terms that he's the bad guy. Like Scar is the bad guy. The Emperor from Star Wars is the bad guy.
What? But remember,
is just like maybe.
Remember when Scar was just like, I want to find some after this stampede kills Mufasa, I want to go find some other lioness that's down to suck my lion dick.
He's just like, I need some pussy tonight. And they're like, that's actually kid safe. That is family friendly because he is referring to cats and lions are big cats.
That is true.
Big cats. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say bad guy, but they are setting up a thing that I guess what I'm saying is like, there are some girls that are attracted to like that honesty or it's like enough of the bullshit. Like, Skipper, let me know what you want. Like Miranda, I wonder if Miranda, she said like, don't touch my leg, but I wonder if Skipper was not more aggressive, but more clear of just like, I think you're beautiful. I think you're so sexy. If she'd be like, oh my gosh, I am sexy. But instead he's like,
about this 30 second take from both of y'all. Cause I agree with what you're saying, John, like if you're branding him as the bad guy, it's like, well, he's being honest. So then think about this. What is your take on Skipper like taking his hand off Miranda's knee, but then at the end she's like, hey Skippy, and he sort of like grabs her and kisses her out of the blue, doesn't even lead up to it, and then she throws him against the wall and kisses him. What's your take on Capote is being up front, Skipper kind of came out of the blue and just kissed her out of nowhere?
I mean, I think what Capote did was it was lacking a ton of class. I think it was rude. I think it was not chivalrous. And I don't think a human being should act that way. Do I think it was bad? No, I don't think it was bad. So like that's like, yes, get back to the original question of these three archetypes of guys where you have where you have Capote, the more forward guy, Skipper, the more passive guy or the nice guy. And then, Cameron, were you saying like Big is in between?
Yeah, he's more the like the romantic.
Yeah.
So maybe fantastical. I don't know. It's not like, it's not fantasy to fall in love, but it is like, he is like more like, he doesn't want sex or just like, I just want a girl to like me. He's like, I want something more than you can, that you can, more than you can demand or give up, like something that is a spark.
It's very interesting that Big has more substance than we would think. And then also that he has major commitment issues.
Yeah. I to answer your question, Corey, I think the point of Miranda is that I think Skipper was like in a lose-lose. And I think Miranda even talked herself in a circle when she was like, oh, so you don't think I'm pretty. That means like this. And so you don't think this. That means that. Like, and she was like using lawyer terminology, which I think was funny because Miranda like never does that later in the series.
It's true.
They're like really hammering
the home.
Ipso
facto again.
Ipso facto. And like, I think if he would have been like, you're beautiful and put her hand on her leg, she would have done the exact same thing, reacted differently. And she's like, oh, so you only want to be with me because I'm beautiful. And I think that was like, they are showing the fact that like Miranda has built a moat around her.
Yes.
That is like, you can't penetrate her. Because she is the type of woman that, because they've lived in New York so long and they've been so frustrated with love and relationships, they've needed this hardened exterior to survive. And
then also she kind of corners herself because later she's like, so you think that I am beautiful and smart? Like, you know, like she basically is like, wait a second, I'm here.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay.
Well, that was amazing.
Hey,
I
think we established we're not going to re-rate these. We're going to have some other things we had some other things that we're going to try to focus on, but I found something that I'm going to try to do for every episode.
I love it.
That we rewatch, and I'm going to try to find one thing that we missed the first time we watched it, or that upon a rewatch, it's a moment of enlightenment, something we didn't see.
Ooh, I love this.
We should probably come up with better branding. It's the Bradshaw Boys aha moment.
Okay.
We have to come up with better branding. But in this one, when Big goes to take Carrie home, what's his limo driver's name?
Ooh, it's Al.
It's Al. It's not Raul. Raul doesn't exist yet.
Do you think maybe like you know how like Raul is spelled, what is it, R-U-A-L? No, that's Rual. Raul would be R. I was thinking that maybe like if it was spelled R-U-A-L, he just calls him like Al instead of Raul. But
yeah.
No, I think it's a different person.
That'd be like me calling you for John because there's an N.
It doesn't really make sense.
I know what you're saying. I thought that too. But yes, there's like, that's a thing that changed. And the show changes so much. Hopefully these will get better.
Yeah. The reason I don't like, and I mean this, I think that if we were to rate these episodes, I would have a hard time, I think, not giving every single one a 5 because this, it's so joyful to rewatch these and to be in this world again and to watch everything with a fresh perspective and the knowledge base that we have with what happens with the characters and who they are. And like this first pilot did not disappoint. It was so freaking good.
Yes.
Can I do a moment of aha that is very interesting?
Yeah.
She says in the beginning, she says, is it the end of love in Manhattan? Is this the age of uninnocence? The Age of Innocence is a book written by Edith Wharton, who's the first woman to win a Pulitzer Prize. Mm. It's a book that was written and then adapted by Martin Scorsese to be a movie that Corey and I watched a few weeks ago.
Oh.
And it was like an original story that was about unrequited love by these two upper class families. Mm-hmm. And then Fran Lebowitz talks about it a bunch, pretended it's a city, go watch it on Netflix. But she talks about Age of Innocence a bunch and Edith Wharton, who's like one of the first female New York writers who wrote about the upper classes and wrote her books about love in the upper classes of Manhattan. Mm. And so she says, like, is it the age of innocence? And instead, like 100 years before that or 80 years before that, like the hottest book in the country was Age of Innocence, which was written by a female writer in Manhattan, writing about love in Manhattan.
That is freaking pretty fucking cool. Dumb.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So,
man, you guys came with like some good shit. Mine was like, did you see they played golf at Chelsea Piers?
No, you came with the, you came with is like Carrie, a different person. You also,
that's because on the first watch,
like
you were just like, we're like, let's discuss the philosophy of love. And me and Corey were just like, boy, Duncan is funny.
Yeah. And also the first watch, we all talked about Rips candy for 7 minutes.
Oh,
remember
geez.
We just talked
we need
about
to end
like
it before
sour
we get started
candy.
About Rips again.
We can't talk about Rips.
Hey, go if you want to hear this same level of breaking it down for episode 2. Go subscribe to our Patreon. Support us. We'll support you with some laughs and some good shit. Call the number.
Yeah.
It is in the Instagram and the Twitter. Okay, call the number. Look up our Instagram and Twitter. Call that. Leave a voice message. We'll play it.
Yep.
And we'll answer it. Follow us on Instagram. Go give us 5 stars on iTunes. And just like that,
hey,
we got
hey, the number is 917-410-1428. 917.
And it's Google Voice.
It's Google Voice, but it rings to one of our phones, so we could answer it.
But there's
it.
No We're charges, is what I mean. Some people ask if there's a charge.
Oh, yeah.
So call that and leave some questions.
Also, there's no charges for anything anymore. Everything is free. Okay. You get someone's password. You can call any number for free these days.
That's
hey,
right.
Thank you all for Anna and Wendy. That's your Instagram name. But thank you for your voicemails. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Later, taters.
Later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cabin, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at thebradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.